On today's broadcast, I'm going to speak with a man who had sex change surgery to become a woman, only to realize he was actually a man after all.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, you can't avoid this in the news these days. Governor Jerry Brown of California signs into law a bill that a boy who believes he's a girl or a girl who believes she's a boy, K through 12, can use the bathroom of their choice, the locker room of their choice, and play on the sports team of their choice. So a 7-year-old male who believes he's a girl can play on the girls' basketball team, use the girls' locker room, be identified as a girl. Bradley Manning, who leaked thousands and thousands of classified military documents, says, "I am Chelsea," and wants to be known as Chelsea Manning, and now is referred to as a she. What is the truth about this? Are there really men trapped in women's bodies and women trapped in men's bodies? Is the compassionate and right thing to do to give them hormone therapy and even sex change surgery, or now it's, as it's now called, gender realignment surgery? Or is that the worst form of abuse imaginable? Michael Brown, welcome to this very important, very special broadcast today on The Line of Fire. We will be taking calls during this interview. The number to call is 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can always write to us via the website askdrbrown.org. Call a friend if you know someone, family, individual that's struggling with these issues, transgender issues, gender identity confusion. Encourage them to tune in today. I'm sitting in the studio with Walt Heyer, who for a period of his life, a very sincere period, struggling deeply, immensely, struggling, trying to have the Lord's help in the midst of it, became Laura and has been living again as Walt, as God intended, for many years now. Walt, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast.
Yeah, Michael, thank you for letting me on today.
It's a joy to have you here. I read your story, Paper Genders, probably last year. It's a riveting book. I kept thinking it can't get any worse, and it got worse. And thank God there's a happy ending. You're here smiling. But Walt, your story is one of incredible pain and anguish over how many years?
Well, really, for the first 40-some years of my life, I was struggling a great deal with my gender issues. And it all started with my grandmother dressing me up in a purple chiffon dress when I was 4 or 5 years old. And that, you know, she had no idea at the time that what consequences dressing me as a girl were going to have. And, of course, when you plant a seed like that and you begin to think in my mind that there must be something wrong with me. And so when you take a child that's 4 or 5 years old and begin cross-dressing them, it sets up this whole long process in the psyche that just has you questioning who you are.
So in your mind, before then, and it's hard to remember back before we were 4 or 5, but you don't remember thinking of yourself as a girl or female before your grandmother started dressing you up?
No. It as soon as she started dressing me up, it became an obsession. It became, something I enjoyed doing. It became a desire, something I wanted to do. So every time she would babysit me, she would cross-dress me, and it became this great, you know, she was a seamstress, so she made me this beautiful purple long chiffon dress when I was very young. And so those kind of imprints or branding where you're living these roles out in real life become something that are very hard to dismiss.
All right. Well, we want to take our listeners on your journey, how you got married, family, ended up thinking you were actually Laura, did what you could to become Laura. We'll talk through not just your own story, but is it true that there's some people with a female brain and a male body? Is it true that the best thing we can do for kids is whatever they perceive they are, let them be? We'll take it all up today right here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Wednesday on The Line of Fire, which means we focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. We're focusing today on the issue of transgender identity, the issue of gender confusion, the question of whether there are some people who are really trapped in the opposite body. We now hear the terms, the gender you were assigned at birth. So perhaps you were assigned the gender of male based on the way you appear, but actually you're female. Is there science that is now demonstrating this to be true? Are we collaborating with madness, as someone else suggested? Is the problem in the mind and not the member, as others have said? We'll talk with someone who can address this in a unique personal way because he's lived it out. And then he has a compassionate heart to help strugglers, and he stayed on top of the scientific evidence. My guest, Walt Heyer, he's written a number of books, Paper Genders, Trading My Sorrows, and Gender Lies and Suicide. We'll tell you in a little while how you can get Gender Lies and Suicide, A Whistleblower Speaks Out, for a gift of any size to our ministry today. If you have a question, the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So, Walt, you said as a boy, 4 or 5 years old, your grandmother innocently started to dress you up in nice girls' dresses because she was a seamstress. She made some real nice ones. And then shortly after that, it caused you to wonder about your identity and even become somewhat obsessed by this. Wouldn't that be proof that actually you were a little girl trapped in a little boy's body, and that's why it messed with you so much? I mean, I'm sure someone's going to throw that at you.
Well, yeah. Well, I think we have to step back and look. Don't children really love to pretend? I mean, as we're growing up, we do a lot of pretending. And when someone begins to foster this pretending in the way that it was performed, it almost became this performance. And she was making me look quite different. And then she would obviously celebrate what I looked like. So then I started to believe, well, maybe I must be better that way than I was as a boy, because she wasn't celebrating the boy side. She was celebrating the girl side. So what was being affirmed was the female, not the male. It was actually, in many ways, the affirmation of the female was destroying the male. So with the pretending, I just became obsessed with wanting people to continue to affirm me. So yes, I continued to seek that female persona.
All right. So you grow up, but you still grow up as a male. How old are you now, Walt?
I'm 72.
72.
Well, just a young guy.
Vibrant, full of life. Yeah, absolutely. Thank God. So this is long before people are talking transgender, long before people are talking gender identity confusion, gender dysphoria, these different terms like that. Perhaps if you lived today, you were 4 or 5 years old today, you were 67, 68 years younger, perhaps when you started to say, I want to wear a dress, I want to wear a dress, your parents would be told, well, he should, because he's really a girl in a boy's body. Do you think that's the climate we're in today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this whole gender thing is being so reinforced. And we really won't know the damage that's being done to these children until many years later, like it was with me. I mean, when I opted for surgery at 42, you can do the math. And, you know, some 37 years later from the time that I first started wearing a dress, so I had this confusion all that time.
All right, Walt, let's try to break this down for listeners.
Right.
And for me, to help me understand this.
Okay.
Explain the internal torment, what you're feeling. If I've read so many stories, say, of someone same-sex attracted, and they couldn't believe that they came to grip with it, and they were Christians, and how can this be, and I can't be same-sex attracted. This can't be happening to me. What's happening in your life? Were you attracted to the opposite sex?
No.
You weren't attracted to the opposite sex, and you want to dress up as a girl. So what happens now? You start to grow up. What's going on?
Wait a minute. I was heterosexual.
Okay, so you were attracted to the opposite sex.
Right. Yeah,
right.
So,
all right, that's what I thought. But you internally wanted to be a girl, identify as a girl. What's going on? Explain what you're thinking, say at 10, And then once you go through puberty, what are you thinking at 15? What's going on inside of Walt?
Well, there's this great conflict. Again, I keep wanting to go back and say, what was getting reinforced? Because that reinforcing made me think that I was better as a female. And so then the male side was kind of getting put down. And so I would try to elevate the male. And when the male failed or didn't seem to be appreciated as much, then I would revert back to the female.
So how would you do that? How would you revert to the female?
Well, I began to, I would cross-dress in my teens. You know, I'd find clothing and I would cross-dress. And so I would try to make my appearance change. And so I think I continued as I grew up to live out this, it's persona that was a female.
Describe the pain.
Oh, it's a lot. I guess the best thing to say is that it's almost like having a radio inside your head that keeps playing and playing and playing the same thing that you're a girl, you're a girl, you're a girl. When you're sleeping at night, you dream that you're a girl. You dream about becoming a female. You dream about all those things that women do, you know, and so... But I would fight back. There was this internal struggle. You know, I ran in track. I played football. I was one of the best kickers in school for the football team. I'd do all those male things. I was very good in track and field. But yet, on the other side of that was this female that wanted to come out.
All right. Now, at the same time, you're heterosexual.
Right.
All right. So you end up getting married. How old are you when you get married?
I was... in my early 20s.
And now what kind of pain are you dealing with? Because you're a heterosexual husband, and then you have kids. Is the radio still going on in your head? Is the broadcast still, you're a woman?
The radio's still going on, and as a coping mechanism, I decided that alcohol was really a good thing to grab a hold of and start using as a coping mechanism. So I started using alcohol abundantly. But at the same time, the male persona... was working on the Apollo Space Missions project. I was becoming successful in the aerospace industry, but also the female was becoming more and more a factor in my life. And I'm trying to suppress the female because of my success on one side, but trying to suppress it with alcohol.
All right, so you're married with kids. Successful career.
Yep. Right.
Now fighting this thing, trying to dull some of the conflict with liquor. Does your wife know something's going on?
Oh, yeah. I actually told her that I was struggling before we got married. I said, you need to understand, I've got this conflict going on. She said, oh, you know, I'm not concerned about it. And she wasn't. And I apparently was a good salesperson because, you know, she bought that there wasn't going to be a problem.
Got it. All right. But then things start to... breakdown. Were you starting to live a double life in any way? Were you finding it necessary to give expression to what you thought was this female part of you?
Yeah, and because of the later on, after I left the aerospace industry, I went into the car industry, and at the time I was doing a lot of traveling, and I was away in motels, and so I would buy clothing, and I would dress up as a female in the motel rooms where nobody could see me, and because I was out of town.
And how did you feel when you did that? Did you feel whole?
Yeah, I did. You know, at the time, I thought this was fascinating, and it was exciting, and it was exhilarating, and I thought that's who I needed to be.
All right. What happens now where life begins to fall apart?
Well, as I began to pursue this, over the years, as I'm pursuing this female persona, I engage in taking female hormones. I'm still married. I engage in more activity and more therapy around the hormone therapy and deciding that was the direction I was going to go. And as I began to do that, I realized that my alcohol intake was going up along with my hormone intake. And so my life began to deteriorate rapidly.
And where's God in your life at this time?
Well, you know, I thought God was in my life, but the fact of the matter is that I had pushed God out for my own personal flesh desires and my confusion and the struggle. I really didn't allow him to become a part of that.
Got it. Obviously, everything makes a difference when God is really there on a core level. All right, when we come back, I want to go on with your journey, but I want to address some of the things we're hearing from the media. I know not all of our listeners will be able to hear your whole story, so I want to intersperse some things so we can talk practically. Friends, the book Gender, Lies, and Suicide, it's actually essential reading now with what's going on in our society, in the media, in the schools. It's yours for your gift of any size, written by my guest, Walt Heyer. Call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. When we come back, we'll let you know how you can be in direct contact with Walt Heyer's website and the important work he's doing.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm holding in my hands a very important book, just came out, Gender, Lies, and Suicide by Walt Heyer. It is dedicated to the lives that have been lost to suicide and to their friends and loved ones who wonder, what could I have done? That pain runs deep. Walt, is this a generic dedication to relatives, friends of those who committed suicide, or to a particular class of people who committed suicide?
Well, it's to the families who, you know, lost a loved one, and it's, you know, dedicated to, you know, the sisters, the brothers, the mothers, the dads, friends, relatives.
But any suicide victims out there, or suicide victims in particular, who had gender issues?
Well, there's such a large percentage of the, nobody in specifically, but there is people who, you know, a large percentage of them commit suicide.
Why don't we hear about this?
Okay. What happens is that, you know, basically gender dysphoria is a depression issue. It's depression and anxiety. And because it is rooted in a disorder, and I put that in the book. I've got the research work. This is not just an opinion of mine. We find that people struggle with dissociative disorders, bipolar, schizophrenia. All these different things don't get addressed.
So you're saying that the root problem is not that Johnny actually has a female brain and he's in a male body, and if we can fix that, if we can change his body to female as much as possible and give him hormones, then Johnny will be fine because he actually has a female brain in a male body, and that's the whole problem. That's the disorder to be addressed. You're saying that's bogus?
That's bogus.
Got it. I want you to hear something that Pat Robertson recently said that raised a lot of eyebrows. We're not out to attack a brother who's done much good in many ways, but when public statements are made that can cause confusion, it's important to address them. So let's listen to what he had to say, and then I want you to respond as someone who has been there, done that, and come back to talk about it on the other side.
Have decided that they are females. I know what the Bible says about homosexuality, but is it wrong to refer to them as females since they've had their gender status changed in the eyes of the law?
I think there are men who are in a woman's body. Mm-hmm. It's very rare, but it's true, or women that are in men's bodies. I don't think there's any sin associated with that. I don't condemn somebody for doing that. But somebody who just says, well, I'm really a woman, I question the validity of that statement. It's not for you to decide or to judge.
All right. I certainly appreciate his tenderness in addressing the issue. You would even more so.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to what he had to say?
Well, he hasn't read my book.
Okay.
You know, I can't, you know, I'm not going to come against Robertson and his views. I just think he's uninformed.
All right. So is there, according to science, the best science, and you've been blogging on these things, you've even interacted with doctors and psychiatrists, psychologists, different ones. Is there science that actually demonstrates that there are people that have a female brain and a male body or vice versa? Is there science that demonstrates that?
There is speculation that that exists. There is only speculation. And the science does not support that to be true. And I've put that information on my blog and in the books.
Now, where can folks read your blog?
They can go to my website, www.sexchangeregret.com, and hit the blog button and go to the blog. And there's numerous blogs, almost 100 of them up there.
All right, sexchangeregret.com. Walt, the way I see it in the media, the way I've seen some documentaries, the stories I've read, this is something to be celebrated, not regretted. This is when people finally find wholeness. In fact, I had one individual who went from male to female, himself, herself, now performs sex change surgery and is known as the rock star of sex change surgery. According to this individual, the success rates are off the charts. The vast majority of people who go through this are thrilled they did it. It's the best decision they made. Maybe you've got one or two people who agree with you about sex change regret. I mean, that's the way it's portrayed in the media.
Well, just this week, I've had four people contact me who want to detransition and go back to their birth gender. That's just this week. I've had numerous people who've written and want assistance to go back to their birth gender. The fact of the matter is that the success rates that are portrayed as being accurate only include 10% of the total population of the transgender. So 90% of the people are not even surveyed to find out what their viewpoint is on whether it was successful or not.
So you're saying of those who undergo sex change surgery, which then got renamed sex reassignment surgery, now sex realignment or gender realignment surgery, you're saying that of those who have the surgery, that you're only able to track about 10% to get results. So the 10%, maybe out of that 10%, there's a good proportion that say they're happy. What happened to the other 90%?
They can't be located. And if the numbers of suicides are accurate that are reported, some groups with, I think it's the, don't hold me to this, but it's 14 to 30 age group, I think 30% of them die from suicide. So,
this is after sex change surgery.
This is before and after.
Before and after.
So, but people commit suicide after the surgery because they can't adapt to their new gender. It's too stressful. It's too difficult. And even 41% of the people will attempt suicide. That's a documented fact. 41% of the people they contact that have written in, and the research supports 41% will attempt suicide. So if it's so successful, why do 41% of them want to commit suicide?
Right, and why don't we hear about that? Now, what we're told is this is the way to stop the suicide, and that a large reason that it happens is because of homophobia and transphobia. What you're saying is these people have deeper issues, and when the deeper issues are addressed, then the other things can be addressed. All right, friends, I know I'm leaving some of you hanging because you say, I got to get out of my car now, or I'm going to lose you now on my station. Keep listening. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, for the entire 2 hours, or just catch up later today. The entire broadcast will be online just a couple hours after we're through here. It'll be archived online. And then get this book, Gender, Lies, and Suicide. A whistleblower speaks out. I've been going through it. I've been going through the stats. I've been going through where he's got letters from people who performed sex change surgery saying, I realize I've made a terrible mistake in what I've been doing. The book is yours for your gift of any size, and Walt's story is interspersed in it. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. You may want to get this for a friend or a few copies to give out. 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back with much, much more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown with a very special guest in studio with me, Walt Heyer. You can read his personal life story in a book intriguingly titled Paper Genders, a book that I read with pain and with tremendous interest and with edification and hope as the book went on. Another book, Trading My Sorrows, we'll talk about that a little later in the show. And then the book that we're offering this week, Gender, Lies, and Suicide, A Whistleblower Speaks Out. Walt Heyer was married with kids and successful in his career, but tormented for decades by the thought that he was actually really a girl and not a boy. And his understanding, going back to when he was 4 or 5 years old, and his grandmother, innocently enough, used to dress him up as a little girl and praised him, oh, look at him in his little dress, and that became part of his identity. He ultimately underwent sex change surgery, years of female hormones, only to realize that the torment didn't go away, it only got worse, only to realize that God actually made him a man. And he has now been a happily married man following Jesus for many years now. But an extraordinarily important story. And Walt, we want to continue getting into your journey in this broadcast, but if you could speak to everyone in America, thank God we've got a great listening audience now, but there are more people not listening than are listening. If you could speak to everyone in America right now about this issue, transgender, gender identity disorder, gender dysphoria, sex change surgery, whatever the buzzwords are, what would you say to America about this?
Well, we need first to have great compassion for their struggle because it is a very, very difficult and tormenting struggle. But where it really breaks down, where the real issues come to play in terms of the regret and the suicide and the difficulty, is in the interaction between the helping psychologist or helping person and the transgender themselves who is requesting the surgery. And it fails because the psychologist or whomever is helping the individual will not look deeper into comorbid disorders. And those comorbid disorders are the underlying depression that is causing the person to act out this persona that is, it's really not real. It feels real. You think it's real, but it is the result of a dissociative disorder. It's result of bipolar or some other psychological or psychiatric issue that never gets treated because these clinicians do not look deep enough into the childhood history to find out if they were sexually abused like I was. And many of the people who've contacted me have been sexually abused or have been mistreated or had an alcoholic or drug addict parent. They were abandoned. The homes, in some cases, are just broken, or in some cases, the people were just really lifted up in that female gender. I've had stories about the sisters, older sisters, cross-dressing their younger boys and making them, you know, fawning over them and begin to develop this dysphoria. And it's confusion, and that's what happens.
All right, so 30 seconds. We'll get your response on the other side of the break. You're saying, though, that even a family where, according to everything we can see, mom and dad, solid marriage, good parents, maybe they've had 4 boys, boy number 5 identifies as a girl, is, you know, from the earliest days, you're saying there's still something going on, some type of disorder, other than it's actually a boy in a girl's body. All right, we got a nod, an affirmative nod.
Yes,
there.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll take that up, but we come back, we'll talk about your own journey, the abuse, the decision to have sex change surgery, and then what happened when Walt became Laura. Friends, this may apply to you or to someone in your family. Go to sexchangeregret.com.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I've never fought in a war. I haven't been in Iraq or Afghanistan. I'm talking about a physical war. Didn't serve in Vietnam, Korean War, World War II. Those things were before my time. So if we're going to talk about war and warfare and battle, well, I'm going to defer to veterans. I'm going to get perspectives of veterans because they've been there, done that. Well, we're talking about something of the torment of what's been called gender identity disorder, someone believing they're trapped in the opposite body, man in the woman's body, woman in a man's body, someone actually getting hormonal treatment, then going through sex change surgery. I want to talk to someone that's lived through these things and someone that's come out whole on the other side. My guest, Walt Heyer, is one such man, tormented with the thought that he was actually a woman, cross-dressing, even as a married man, undergoing hormone therapy and then ultimately sex change surgery, only to realize that he was Walt and not Laura. If you have a question for yourself, you can be as anonymous as you want to be. If you have a question regarding a family member, one of your kids you're struggling with, trying to help, call, and well, you can speak with Walt, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Walt, recently, a man in the news for his leaking of thousands of military documents, Bradley Manning, says, "I am Chelsea. I'm going to jail for 35 years, but I don't want sex change surgery, but I do want female hormones so I can develop breasts, and the same sex attracted on top of it." He says, "I'm Chelsea," and now all the media reporting referred to Bradley as she, her. How do you feel when you read those things?
Well, you know, I feel bad for Bradley Manning in his struggle with his identity. You know, one of the things is we're trying to deal with Bradley Manning and his issues at this stage in his life when we don't know the issues of his childhood. And I always have to go back and look at the childhood, see what kind of an environment he grew up in, what happened. You know, Manning is obviously a very confused individual, somebody who's you know, going to be in prison, I think it was 35 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we've got somebody that's very troubled. And as I've talked about before, people who struggle with gender identity issues have mental and psychiatric disorders. And I don't know which one, you know, is really at the root cause of his issues.
All right. So this whole idea, if someone says, "This is who I am, that's who I am," even though you live with that torment for years, you don't endorse that. So if I said to you that I am a black man or I am an Asian man, whereas actually Caucasian, and I'm convinced of that, you would not identify me as such. Even if I was sure I was and even tried to change the color of my skin, you would say the problem's on the inside, not the outside.
That's right.
All right. And what do you do with those that say my upbringing was fine? Or the parents who'll say, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, watching a show where here's a mom and dad, I think they had four boys, mm-hmm. real boys, you know, men's boys, that kind of thing, dad's yeah. boys, child number five, another boy, and he identifies as a girl and is embarrassed about his male private parts and so on, and they raise them the same way. You're just trying to put your experience, project that on others. Can't you accept that he really is a girl in a boy's body?
No. One of the things is that no parent, and there's a lot of really fine parents raising really good families that'll end up with a child who struggles with gender identity disorder. Christian families, I've had them contact me. Mm-hmm. I've interacted with them. The thing is that we, as parents who raise these kids, cannot have the opportunity to look into every single experience that child has had with other children. And some of these experiences perhaps were troubling. And so it still gets down to digging into what it is that's generating this idea where he wants to portray a different gender than what he really is. And in there lies the psychiatric or psychological issue that needs to be addressed.
All right. When someone says it was either sex change surgery or suicide, how do you respond? I'll give you an example. I started interacting with a gentleman online in the context with an outreach we were doing at a gay pride event. Started interacting with this gentleman who now identifies as a woman and committed Christian, still church going, involved in different ministry work, etc. And I could not address him as her. I didn't feel that would be honest. Mm-hmm. He was not happy with that and said, well, I won't address you by your first name. I said, that's fine. I'm not trying to hurt you. I would rather accommodate you, but I feel it's not honest. So I asked, what happened? You were married 37 years. What happened to your wife and kids? Well, the kids, little by little, they're starting to reconcile with who I am. Well, I forget that part in detail, but what I remember very clearly, he said, was I destroyed the marriage and basically rendered my wife a widow. And I said, okay, you are commanded to love your wife as Christ loved the church, to lay your life down for her. It's not about you. And he said it was either sex change surgery or suicide. How do you respond to someone like that?
Well, I think anybody that suggests that it's sex change surgery or suicide is absolutely proof positive that you have a psychiatric or psychological disorder. Anybody that would use that kind of psychological blackmail, which is what it is a very troubled individual. So they need to be on suicide watch. They need to be on some kind of antidepressants because they're very depressed. They don't understand who they are. And so there's where the therapy takes hold.
Got it. So when we hear about young people, it's just say with same-sex attraction, and if we can just affirm their same-sex attraction, they won't commit suicide. And when we say the Bible teaches thus and such, they're committing suicide. We need to recognize that as the opposite of what they're saying. That you, if I don't remember in the Civil Rights Movement, young black boys and girls killing themselves because they were so upset with being black, because suicide means there's another issue going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there that is the proof. That should be all the proof you need. The person is a psychological or has a psychiatric issue. And there's a story about a gentleman in a prison who they gave the sex change surgery to because he said he was going to commit suicide. Well, he'd been in prison for 10 years and had never committed suicide.
Right.
So the guy wasn't going to commit suicide, but he was able to manipulate the system into giving him surgery in, you know, this conspiracy that he was going to commit suicide.
Yeah, and, you know, we hear, I get accused of this. You have the blood of gay young people on your hands because, you know, you teach homophobic things from Scripture. And I say the message we preach liberates from suicide. The message of Jesus is a message of life. In your case, though, not only did you have a grandmother dressing you up as a girl when you were very little, and that played into you heavily, there was also a pattern of abuse. Obviously, we don't need details, and you don't want to recount details, but what was the long and short of what happened?
Well, I was physically abused, and I was sexually abused. And
from what ages?
From about the age of 7, and so and that lasted for about 3 years. So anytime you have somebody cross-dressing you, you're physically abused and sexually abused, you're going to have some psychological problems. Those are tough issues to walk away from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we hear that constantly from people who have been victims of abuse, whatever sexuality or expression they end up having. So rather than getting to the root of the deeper issues, you tried to meet the pain where you were aware of it. Right. And how extensive was the counseling, the psychological research, the medical evaluation, the consulting with other doctors that had treated you in the past before you were allowed to have sex change surgery?
Well, Dr. Paul Walker, who wrote the standards of care in 1979, he was the chairperson who organized the group that wrote the International Standards of Care that's still in play today, was the guy who approved me for surgery. So I went to a San Francisco office on Union Street, and I met with him for 45 minutes. I was actually intoxicated at the time that he met with me. I went. He said, "You got to come back next week." I went back the following week, and he had my letter of approval for surgery. So that was the depth of the therapeutic work that went into trying to determine whether I was a good candidate for surgery. Now, don't laugh, because I got a letter yesterday where somebody recently had the same identical experience. This still goes on. You know, mine was 30 years ago, but nothing has changed. They do not dig into these deeper psychological issues. In fact, they're prevented by law in California and other places from even digging into the deeper issues.
Especially with a minor. Right?
Especially with a minor.
Right. So, all right, the implications of that, when we come back, what you can and can't do with a counselor in California, and then we'll give you the rest of Walt Heyer's personal story, kind of to hell and back in living color.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, Walt Heyer, author most recently of the book Gender Lies and Suicide, A Whistleblower Speaks Out, a man who went through sex change surgery to become Laura, to become a woman, only to realize that God had made him a man and that his issues were deeper. That's how he found wholeness in the Lord. To get this book, your gift of any size, and it's so important, the issues it addresses. I've been so pleased looking at what's addressed, how it's addressed, and how up-to-date he is on the research. Call 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. I just want to play a quick clip. These were some folks that we interviewed at a gay pride event in our city this past weekend, some students from our ministry school. And one of the questions was, if someone is unhappy with their gender, should they be allowed to pursue change of gender? And is there any age for that? Let's listen to the response.
Not happy with their gender, should they be allowed to pursue a change of gender?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. And is there any age limitation on that? Meaning,
not
like,
for,
at what age can someone make that determination?
Any age.
I mean, if they want to start,
like, 2 years old, like, one, or, like, three, four,
well, I mean,
five.
They show signs by age of five, but typically it should start before puberty hits.
As long as they're not bored.
No, as long as they seek proper counseling, and it's determined by their therapist that they can go ahead with it, they should be able to.
All right, so, Walt, right now, if you live in California, let's say you're a 17-year-old young man. You go to see a therapist, professional counselor, and you say, I'm really troubled. I'm attracted to the same sex. I want to have a heterosexual marriage and kids of my own and my religious beliefs, morals. I'm not happy with this. I don't know why I'm same-sex attracted. I was abused at one point. I don't know if that's related. Could you talk to me? Could you help me sort this out and address my same-sex attractions? Illegal.
Right.
Illegal. New Jersey just passed a similar bill.
Right.
Okay. Same per no, let's go now. 10-year-old. 10-year-old goes in, see the doctor with the parents, and says, I'm sure I'm a boy. I've always felt like this. It's a little girl. I'm always felt like this as long as I can remember. I'd like to get a hormone blockers to stop the onset of puberty. I heard about this from my parents, been talking about it, and then I want to find out about sex change surgeries on maybe like 17 or 18. Great. Okay, good. Let's sit and talk with you. And yeah, we can hook you up with Dr. Spack in Boston or somebody else and get you on hormonal therapy to stop the onset of puberty and then sex change surgery maybe when you're 18 years old. Great. I mean, it sounds like science fiction, but it's actually true.
Mm-hmm.
Walt, in your own life, you went through sex change surgery. Did you adequately think through what that was going to mean? It's not just getting a pedicure or changing your hair color. This is something radical. How carefully had you thought it through?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, I thought about it for 30-some years before I did it. So you think that you've covered all the ground, that you've thought it over quite well. The problem is that there isn't anybody who can adequately understand the consequences, the difficulty, and the emotional problems they're going to have after they change their gender. I will tell you that I reported right after my surgery, you know, I thought it was a total success. And I lived as a female for 8 years. So there is a point at which you come to realize that this is just a masquerade, that you're portraying somebody that you can never be, this fantasy person. And I've gotten letters, I've gotten two letters where people found this out at 3 months. And I got one recently where someone found this out. They were an NFL cheerleader, and they found this out after 32 years. They're going back to their birth gender. 32 years as a female. It was a Houston Oilers cheerleader and is now back, switching back to male. So it can happen anywhere from 3 years to 32 years that I know of. I've documented it.
So one psychologist that tracked this over a period of years said that just as people enjoyed cross-dressing, they now enjoyed being in this new body, and yet the deeper issues weren't addressed. How long did you struggle with torment? And then did you start to dress as a man, even though you were surgically a woman? I mean, what level of confusion did you go through?
Well, you start this process, and you're going through it. You're a female, and you start dressing as a man because you realize you're really a man. And then you start having doubts that that's really real. So you go back to dressing as a woman, and then you start dressing as a man. You start dressing. You go back and forth. You do this numerous times.
And you're praying, even trying to go to church in the midst of this.
Absolutely.
So you're going to church, and you're telling a pastor, hey, I've had sex change surgery. You're going in dressed as a woman.
Right.
Saying, but I need help.
Right.
Well, next hour, let's talk about the church. And
yes.
Because I get calls now from people saying, what do we do?
Yeah.
We've had them call this show. Right. What do? We have someone in our church like this. I've told, just last night teaching a class at our ministry school, I told folks, we're going to have more and more people coming into our churches like this. How do we help them? How do we minister to them? How do you meet them where they are without the affirming? Ultimately, you get to the root of the psychological problems you're struggling with. When those get addressed, you finally find that psychological, emotional wholeness and do everything you can to go back to being Walt. How long have you been a married man now, Walt?
Over 16 years.
Over 16 years.
Yeah.
Are you happy at last?
Oh, finally. You know, that radio doesn't play in my head anymore. I'm solid.
You don't hear, I'm a girl, I'm a woman.
No.
And you found a place of wholeness.
Absolutely.
And it's consistent?
It's consistent and has been for the last 16, 17, 18 years.
Yeah. It's a shame it took so long to get there, now being 72, 50-something years of pain, but thank God you didn't take your life ultimately. Thank God your sanity has been found, not just preserved, but found. Friends, go to the website sexchangeregret.com. If you're contemplating sex change surgery, hormonal therapy, if you're wondering what to do with my kid, I mean, he's sure he's a girl. What do? He's 8 years old. He's felt like this for 4 years. We see on TV, we should affirm it. And it seems that's what's finally going to make him happy. Go to the website. Those who've been in the midst of transition one way or another and now realize you may have made a terrible mistake, go there. There's hope. There is hope for wholeness. And everyone listening, get the book, Gender, Lies, and Suicide. It's yours for your gift of any size. So help us as you can, but get hold of this. Your gift of any size, the book Gender, Lies, and Suicide, a whistleblower speaks out. I'm holding the book in my hands right now. I've been reading it with interest since it arrived on my desk last week. The number to call to order the book, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Walt's also written Trading My Sorrows and Paper Genders. You can find out about those on his website. My bottom line today, despite what we hear in the media, there is not confusion in God. He really did make us male and female. And many times what we're trying to treat on the outside needs to be treated on the inside. On today's broadcast, I'm going to speak with a man who had sex change surgery to become a woman, only to realize he was actually a man after all.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm joined today in studio by a very special guest, Walt Heyer. I read his book, Paper Genders, probably just last year, if not the year before, and was moved as I read it. It went from pain to joy and resolution. A man that struggled mightily with his own identity, dressed up by his grandmother as a girl when he was just 4 or 5 years old, and that became part of his identity, then abused sexually and physically, abused in other ways from about the age of 7 to 10, ultimately struggling with his identity, even as a married man, finally becoming convinced the only way he could be whole and avoid suicide and depression and substance abuse was to have sex change surgery, only to do that over 30 years ago and realize he came out on the wrong side. In fact, he is a man, and he's been a happily married, whole man, follower of Jesus, blessed for 16 years now. If you've got a question for Walt, number to call 866-34-TRUTH. Walt, what I wonder about is this. I remember hearing about Renee Richards, tennis player when I was younger, a man who had sex change surgery, became a woman, then was going to play women's tennis, and was it fair? And, well, she wasn't as good as the best, so that kind of passed. But that question I come to read years later about the agony that the son went through. You know, you're my dad, not my mom, all of that. But we're hearing about this so much. I was invited on a Tyra Banks show a few years ago to talk about, quote, transgender children, and they brought out little boy. They said, he was Johnny, now he's Jane. It's like, well, what do you mean he's now? It's a little kid. They just say it, now you're saying it's true. And the parents are hugging each other and crying, and now that we identify that our kid really is a boy in a girl's body, and it's an identifiable condition, now that we let him cross-dress, and now they're happy, and so on, and now states are passing laws where kid identifies as opposite to what their biological sex is. They can use the appropriate bathrooms and so on. So you traumatize the other kids and on and on. We're hearing about it constantly, Walt. Why are we hearing about it? Is this something that's been suppressed and now is finally coming out? Or there are other factors? What do you think?
I think there's a bigger issue here. I think what's really happening today is that they're really trying to eradicate gender as man and woman. So that there is no definable man, no definable woman, that it's fluid. It just transcends into whatever you want it to be. It can be a little of this, a little of that, or none of this and none of that. So if you can destroy the gender man and destroy the gender woman, you can also destroy the family marriage system of man and woman.
Are you saying that there's some larger agenda at work?
Yes.
I agree with you. I agree that there are people who are activists. I've documented in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I document the war on gender. But how does that little Joey, he doesn't know about it. He doesn't know that that some sociologists and some gay activists and others are declaring war on gender and the male-female dichotomy, the binary constriction they talk about. You're either a boy or a girl, and when you go to school, there's so much gender. I was reading one gay activist group. They said, there's gender everywhere when you go to school. You know, the boys' rooms, the girls' rooms, the boys' teams, the girls' teams, the boys wear this, the girls wear this. Yuck! That's just squeezing people into mold. Okay. It's much more pervasive in society than people know. Right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, there are teachers in a preschool that cannot address the four-year-olds as boys and girls because that makes a gender distinction. They have to call them friends. We know that's happening, Walt, but little Joey doesn't necessarily know about it. So how is it that this conspiracy that's out there is affecting these kids? We'll take it up and tell you more of Walt's story when we come back.
Oh God of birth. name. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, Walt Heyer, a man who had sex change to become Laura, only to realize that his issue was not his body. His issue was what was happening on the inside. As one psychologist said, the problem is in the mind, not the member. We're talking about how societal thinking has changed. And rather than saying, okay, you obviously have a problem if you're convinced you're a boy in a girl's body, just like if I was convinced I was Napoleon, or if I was convinced that I was Shaquille O'Neal, if I was, large, I'm a 6'3" white guy, but I'm not a 7'2" black guy, okay, I'm not, but the same way I'm not a female. And yet these days, if I said, no, I'm actually Marianne, that's who I am, then by law, companies would have to say, okay, we recognize you as such. So Walt, you were saying that in society today, there are activists, educational activists, sociologists, others that have a problem with gender. They feel it locks you in to be male, female. We're not talking about a child that's born with ambiguous genitalia and would be intersex and you don't know, looking at that child, what they are. We're talking about 99.99% where that's not the issue. Why do you think it's affecting so many? Why are we hearing about it? There's even a camp, for transgender identified kids where they can go and just, quote, be themselves, and the boys can participate in beauty contests and the girls can, play gunfights and stuff like that. Why are we hearing about it so much more?
Well, because they're passing laws to force it down your throat, whether you like it or not. And if you want to change a social system, you do it with young kids. So that's why they're doing it in the schools. So you begin to have the kids, just like I did when I was a youngster, begin to doubt whether there's a female or male gender. And, if you could do it in my head with a grandmother cross-dressing me, you can do it with any kid who's in school and say, well, you want to identify as a female, please do. And, nobody's going to come against them.
And aren't there even schools now that have a cross-dressing day?
Absolutely.
Where everyone's supposed to show up dressed as the opposite gender?
Yeah, I mean, and if there was ever child abuse, to me, in looking back at my life, what I went through with my grandmother was child abuse.
So when she dressed you as a girl at the age of four, and she thought it was just being playful.
She thought she was being playful. It was fun. It seemed benign. And yet it's child abuse.
Dr. Paul McHugh, who is one of the most respected psychologists in the nation, headed up the Johns Hopkins University psychological program for years, did research when Johns Hopkins as a medical center was performing sex change surgery years ago, and they were the first of the major university-related medical centers to ban it. And I spoke with him a few years ago via email before I was on Tyra Banks to ask if his views had changed in any ways on the subject. And he said it's child abuse. If you are going to try to medically or surgically adjust things with a child's gender, it is child abuse. Now, though, that Dr. McHugh is really attacked by transgender activists and even other psychologists, psychiatrists, and they say his research is out of date. He doesn't know the most recent studies. The most recent studies have really pinpointed things we could now see biologically, genetically, whatever it is, that we're actually dealing with a female brain and a male body or vice versa. Has the research indicated that people like Dr. McHugh are way, way out of date in their understanding?
Paul McHugh was right in 1978-79, and he's always been right, and he's always been beat up. But then we got to realize that the truth is what gets attacked here. I mean, when you have in a schoolyard a boy and a girl restroom, and they're saying they don't really count anymore, they're attacking the truth. The truth is, yes, there is a female. Yes, there is a male. And what they're saying is they don't exist. They're trying to, as I said earlier, eradicate this. So the truth is what's under attack. Paul McHugh was right.
All right. How old were you, Walt, when you went through sex change surgery?
I was 42.
And how long before that had you been on female hormones?
Probably 6 or 7 years.
All right. Now, what I understand today is if someone goes in and said they want sex change surgery, that most of the time they would first be encouraged to just dress as the opposite gender for a while. You know, start to dress. So it'd be like me, 6'3", 250 pounds, I don't know if I'd shave the mustache, whatever. I'd wear a dress, okay, as absurd as it sounds. And when I talk to a man who had had sex change surgery and identified as a woman, he's probably my age or older, and said he's a Christian following Jesus and all this, and I felt the person was deeply confused. They felt I was full of hate towards them. And he said to me, as a woman, when you meet me, you're going to tell me how pretty I look. And I said, well, why would I want to do that anyway? I'm not going to do that for a heterosexual woman, you know, or a born woman. I'm not going to, you know, I'm a married man. I'm like, oh, look how pretty you look. But the fact of the matter is, when I saw this man from a distance, I said, oh, the poor guy, he's a man. He's a man wearing a dress, and I don't care what he did, sex change surgeries, long hair or wig, whatever. I thought, well, the poor guy, I felt terrible for him. I mean, he thought I was hateful. Mm-hmm. I felt terrible for him. Obviously, things have improved now. You can alter appearance more. You can do different things. But what I've understood is that the general process, you'll be told, okay, start to cross-dress, you know, do that for a period of time, and then get on hormones for a year or two, and then have the sex change surgery. What other battery of tests are required? What psychological tests? Let's say we look at this as a last resort. What other resorts are looked at first before someone would even contemplate this?
Good question. You know, I had a letter this week from somebody who said they went to the therapist and showed the therapist a picture of him in a dress, and the therapist said, oh, you have gender identity disorder. I need to put you on hormones, and we need to get you ready to go down for surgery.
No.
And that's how it works.
No.
Absolutely.
Today, you don't have all types of federal regulations? And
No. They're actually, I have a friend who's a therapist who said he's actually barred from asking any deep questions. All they're supposed to do now when somebody comes in and talks about cross-dressing is to affirm them. That's the therapy. Affirm them. Continue to affirm them.
I'm Napoleon, and I come in dressed as Napoleon. And
you
and
got it, baby.
You're going to affirm me.
Yeah.
But if I say, look, I'm a man, I'm attracted to men, but I want to be attracted to women, then I can't change. That's bad.
Yeah.
So I can change my gender, but I can't change my attractions.
Right.
Oh, my. But, oh, okay.
Yeah. And here's the other side. When the people tell me that they want to go back to detransition and go back to their male gender, they can't find anybody to help them.
Why?
Because the people say, oh, you're fine. You look really beautiful as a female. You just need to give it more time. And they'll write me and say, I'm sick and tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. This is ridiculous. I'm not a female. And the therapist really do not, they discourage them from changing back to their birth gender. It's very difficult. And so that's a real problem for people detransitioning.
We heard the story of Mike Penner, sports journalist, who Tough then one. Said that he was a woman and transitioned to be a woman. And this, everyone welcomed him. In fact, he was viewed as courageous. And then he said, I'm going to be writing my columns. Was it Christine?
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, he realizes I'm a man and goes back to that, and then commits suicide. When I've made reference to that, I'm told that is the total exception because everybody's so happy after doing it. So you got to find somebody like that because this is one of the most successful surgeries out there. You would say that stories like that are all too common and even the norm.
They're the norm. And in fact, I put it in my book, the Swedish study, 324 transgenders. They say they still commit suicide. They still have deep psychological problems after surgery. Surgery does nothing to fix them.
So the fact that I'm suicidal means there are other issues going on. If I can't have pizza for dinner tonight, I'm not going to kill myself. But if I tell you, if I can't have pizza, I'm going to kill myself, then pizza is really not the issue. Something else is going on.
Exactly.
All right. When you had sex change surgery, 42 years old, what had happened to your marriage at that point?
Well, we were in the process of being divorced, and it was only a few months after my gender surgery that the divorce was finalized. And then I was terminated from my job. I was a national operations manager for American Honda Motor Company in Gardena, California. I had an excellent, very successful job, three parking places, you know, very prestigious. But they wanted nothing to do with me and dismissed me and escorted me out of the place.
All right. We got a break coming up. I guess you saw from my body language that we had a break. Let's find out, after you went through this, what that happens with your kids, because your father, what was your kids' relationship to you? Do you think it was right that the company said, we don't want anything to do with you? Was that a discriminatory thing? And then the way back, the way to wholeness, and then what should parents do and not do? And the church, what does the church do with someone like this?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, Walt Heyer, author most recently of the book Gender, Lies, and Suicide, A Whistleblower Speaks Out, telling you the whole story about transgender, gender identity, gender confusion issues, telling you the whole story, what the media is not telling you about sex change surgery. A man who had sex change surgery become a woman, only to realize that he was actually a man, to turn back to being a man again, now happily married, 16 years, whole and blessed in the Lord. You can get this book, which is really important reading. Parents, educators, pastors, just interested believers, and those struggling with these issues yourselves, get the book. Your gift of any size, we want to send this out. That's how important the book is. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. All right, Walt, years of torment, years of pain, alcoholism as a result of it, losing a successful career. Finally, after 6-7 years of female hormone therapy, cross-dressing on and off, your marriage now at the point of divorce, you have sex change surgery. How many kids did you have, Walt?
I had two kids. I had a son and a daughter.
All right. So how old were they, roughly, when you had sex change surgery?
12 and 14.
12 and 14. How did they relate to Dad becoming a woman, or did they know?
Oh, they knew. And my daughter pretty well dismissed me. She didn't want anything to do with me. And I must say, I think that's good. I think that...
For her sake.
Yeah, I think that was appropriate on her part. My son, he would kind of joke about it as his way of dealing with it. You know, I would see him, but I never let him see me as Laura, because I didn't think that was healthy for him psychologically. Even though I was struggling, I didn't think I should push my gender stuff on him. And so he would kid me about it and say, I see you're not yourself today or something. He'd make some funny comment, uh-huh. You know. And so he dealt with it more with the humorous side.
All right. For a little while, you thought, success, I'm finally happy.
Yes, yes.
How long did that last?
That probably lasted a year, maybe 2 years.
How traumatic was it now to think, oh, no, I made a terrible, terrible mistake?
Oh, you know, it kind of smacks you upside the head like a 4x4. What you realize it, I realized it at one moment in Monterey, California, driving my car, and it was night. I remember it very well. I was on 17 Mile Drive, and I said, you know, this is absolutely the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. Now what are you going to do?
Now, you were suicidal before this?
I was suicidal before then. And I was suicidal off and on during this recent struggle to come back. You know, what was I going to do?
All right, because you think, I've made a terrible mistake.
Right.
There's no way back. I've destroyed everything.
Right.
I just have to take my life. So you have the torment, one kind of torment before,
right.
Another kind of torment after. What about the Lord? At what point do you start trying to go to church and get help and include the Lord in your life?
Well, I started to go back to church, and I went to the first church I went to. I my therapist, Dr. Dennis Guernsey in Pasadena, a psychologist, called up a friend of his who knew a pastor, and he says, I'm sending this person who's struggling with his gender identity to your church. And he was a good friend of his, and the guy said, oh, yeah, let him come. So I went to the church.
So he was addressing you as he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even though you had become Laura,
right,
he was addressing you because he knew you're really a man.
Right.
All right. So he's going to send you to this church. How did you show up? How were you dressed?
I showed up as Laura.
Why did you do that?
Well, because I was still Laura at the time. My driver's license and all my identity was Laura. So, you know, part of the conflict is that if you get stopped by a police officer, what are you going to show them?
Got it.
So, you know, it gets very troubling.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
So
these days in certain states, you can have your birth certificate changed,
yes,
which is surreal. Okay, so you show up at the church. The pastor knows that you're a man who's had sex change surgery, who's identifying as a woman but is struggling.
Right.
You show up dressed as Laura. What happens?
So I sign in as a newcomer, put my address down, and the ladies at the newcomer table gather around me, and we all go into church together, and I listen to the sermon. And at the end of the day, they're kind of happy that I'm there. This new female has shown up. Now, they don't know that I'm a transgender. And so then I went on home. And then I noticed late in the afternoon, a car pulled up in front, and the guy that got out, I could see through the front window, was the pastor of the church, and he came up and knocked on the door, and I opened the door up, let him in the house, and he looked at me, and he said, we don't want your kind in our church. And I kind of smiled and said, oh, really, what kind do you want?
Mm.
You know, so churches struggle with this, as well as the individual who's struggling with their identity. I mean, on both sides of this coin, they're struggling.
Yeah.
And I didn't really object to him expressing his feelings. I just thought it was kind of funny that he was so bold about it, you know.
And the question is, where then do you go? That's why so many people struggling with gender identity issues end up going to the one place they can get embraced, which is the gay and lesbian community, which is going to be embracing of LGBT and gender discordant people and so on. And so you end up there as opposed to the place that can really help you.
But because I wasn't homosexual, I continued to go back to the traditional church. And I finally went to a church, and I went in, and the pastor, you know, had me in his office. And I asked him point blank, I said, are you going to try to change me? And this pastor looked at me, Jeff Farrar, and he looked at me with this kind of nice little smile on his face. He says, man, he says, my job is just to love you. God's the one that's going to change you.
And you finally felt a little bit more hope there.
Yeah, I did.
All right, we come back. I want to take your call, an important call. How can a believer accept gender change in the workplace? How do we deal with this? How do churches deal with this? What happens if a guy comes to the church, he's a man, gets saved as a man, then comes and says, actually, I was born female, had sex change surgery. What does a person need to try to revert? Or what do we do? What should a parent do when a little boy, say, wants to cut off his private parts because he's convinced he's a little girl? Get the book, friends, Gender, Lies, and Suicide. A whistleblower speaks out. Walt Heyer tells his story, but here he's dealing with all the major issues, all the major questions, and what the research and science actually have to say. You can get the book for your gift of any size by calling 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Also, we get emails sent to our ministry all the time because we address this. We don't focus on it or specialize in it, but it is something we often address. And we have referred people to Walt Heyer and his writings. His website, sexchangeregret.com. Hey, if we did this whole broadcast for one person that's going to find wholeness, it would be worth it. But I know it's for a whole lot more. Sexchangeregret.com. You'll get the truth filled with love, but nothing but the truth.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there really is a war on gender. I have books on eradicating gender, bending gender, multiplying gender. I've documented school lessons put out by gay activist educational organizations, helping your kid discover their inner tranny, meaning their inner transgender identity, and maybe they're really not at home with the, quote, gender they were assigned at birth. And these things are actually becoming law, these concepts written into law. We need to talk to someone who's lived with the agony, the pain of gender identity disorder, gender dysphoria, gender confusion, however we want to describe it, and has done everything to ease that pain, from hormones to sex change surgery, only to realize the pain was something deeper. And then wholeness was found as the man that God had made him to be. My guest, Walt Heyer. If you have a question for Walt, 866-348-7884. His website, sexchangeregret.com. Walt, I want to play a clip for you from Diane Arensaft. She is the director of mental health and founding member of the Child and Adolescent Gender Center and a clinical psychologist in the San Francisco Bay Area. Let's listen to what she has to say about gender.
Gender comes in many shapes and sizes, and I'm going to give you just a simple laundry list. It's not exhaustive. There is the transgender child. That is the child who says, I am not the gender that's on my birth certificate. I am the opposite gender. There is the gender fluid child, and that is the child who plays along the dimensions of gender from male to female as we as a culture define that, and is perfectly happy with the gender on the birth certificate, but not with expressing it in binary boxes. Then there are the kids that I call gender hybrids. They will tell me, you know what, I'm half boy, I'm half girl. Now, these are children who may be on their way to being transgender, but for the time being, they see themselves as somewhat of a hybrid. Then there are older youth who call themselves genderqueer. And they say to us, why are you hung up with any of these categories? Why have to define gender at all? I'm just all genders.
All right. What is your response to that, Walt, not just as someone who's lived through these things, but as someone who has stayed on top of the research?
Well, I think this proves what I said earlier. What we're trying to do, or the activists are trying to do, is introduce all these other things that aren't male, aren't female.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I call the great gender delusional disorder that they're trying to perpetrate upon society. And they're actually pushing it with laws, because when they begin, the activists, putting laws into place where it prevents you from confronting people and saying, you know, you are a boy, you know. And I wished someone would have come along when I was a young transgender child at 5 years old and told grandma, you know, don't do this. This is wrong.
All right. Now, what about the German, I think it was in Germany, a dad got all these accolades because his boy liked to wear a dress. So to show solidarity with his son, he wore a dress in public with his boy, and now he's being highly praised for it. What do you think of that?
Well, I think, you know, we as a society have great compassion for people who show great courage. And I think, you know, the father, while in my view a bit peculiar, but some people would say he was showing great courage. I think he's obviously a bit troubled.
Got it. And while we come back, I want to take a call, a practical call about the workplace, but I want to ask you flat out, man, you're 72. You've been through so much torment and pain. Why not just enjoy life with your wife, with the Lord, enjoy the next 10, 20 years, whatever? This is such a battle. You get attacked for it. You get maligned for it. Why not just enjoy these years in peace and quiet? Sexchangeregret.com is the website.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast with my special guest, Walt Heyer. His personal story is told in the book Paper Genders, the story of dealing with this in the church. How does the church deal with someone who's had sex change surgery or struggling with, quote, transgender issues, the book Trading My Sorrows. And the book we're offering this week, his newest, Gender, Lies, and Suicide, A Whistleblower Speaks Out. Walt, let's go to the phones and let's address some practical issues. We'll go from the workplace to the church to the family. David in Chicago, Illinois, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
My question stems from your guest, Walt, said that he was fired from his job after he changed his gender. That's really not the case anymore. On my last position, there was someone who went away for a few weeks and came back as a female. And we were told, well, there were meetings and stuff like that, and what do you call it, sensitivity training, that we had now had to refer to this person by her female name that she chose or he chose. And if not, it was stressed in no uncertain terms that you could be terminated if you didn't. I'm just wondering if there's a practical resource guide out there, maybe something written by human resource managers or labor lawyers that deal with this issue of how we as believers can deal, you know, can address this issue in the workplace and not have to be under the threat of losing our job.
Well, I think, you know, anytime you're in the workplace, you have to abide by whatever laws are in place, and whatever the company's rules and regulations bind you to do, and that's so that you can keep your own job. And so in my situation, I was very glad in hindsight that I was terminated, because I think what happened to me was I realized at that point that things were not going to go real well for me. And that was probably a healthy thing in helping me over the years after that to begin to see and understand that changing genders is a very difficult thing to do. And it eventually what I discovered was not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
David, the problem is that almost anything you're going to find written by human resources and all that is going to be affirming, quote, sexual orientation rights and gender identity rights and not affirming Christian rights. What I'd encourage you to do is to contact, go to TellADF, TellADF.org, TellADF.org.
Okay.
You can contact them via website and just say what's going on and ask what your rights are. Obviously, you want to treat people with respect and compassion, but there are places where it is the law. You, Human Rights Campaign, which is really the homosexual activist organization, the world's largest, in fact, they have laid out workplace guidelines where if, let's say, you're a supervisor, it is your job now to prepare everyone else in the workplace to say that David is now Denise, and you will recognize David as Denise. And if you have a problem with this, if you have a problem with Denise now using the ladies' bathroom and things like this, then your job can be in jeopardy if you don't fully embrace and accept this. So it creates real problems. The only thing I can say...
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
The one thing I can say is it's not our job as believers to force someone to live right and do right. But if you feel you're actually compromising who you are on some level by having to address David as Denise, or having to share the bathroom, if you're a woman, having to share the bathroom with a male, then it becomes very, very difficult. That's the issue. We're not trying to make everyone live a certain way or influence their decisions, but now you are being told that you have to embrace this identity. And of course, it happens in the schools, that the little girls have to accept the fact that six-year-old Johnny is now using the girls' room because Johnny identifies as Jane, and they don't have the right to be uncomfortable with it. If they're uncomfortable, they need psychological counseling, whereas it's the other kid that does.
Okay.
But, David, this is the Alliance Defending Freedom. TellADF.org. Shoot them a note. They deal with these issues literally day and night, and someone there will be able to give you further guidance. Okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Church world.
Yeah.
Somebody comes in, On Fire Man. We meet him. He got saved 2 years ago. He loves Jesus. He's excited. He's doing ministry work with us. We're saying, wow, this guy's really got potential. He could head up our evangelism teams as we get to know him better. Committed believer. And then we find out, actually, he's born female and 5 years ago had sex change surgery to become male. I mean, he's got a goatee and all this. Looks like a guy, but that's due to the male hormones he's taking. What do we do? Do we accept him fully as he is? Do we just promote him in ministry and leadership? Hey, because that's who he is now that he got saved. He's already had sex change surgery. Do we require change? I mean, what do we? We're not talking about now an unsaved person coming in that we're just going to try to embrace. And, Daddy, why is that man wearing a dress? Well, he's confused, so we want to pray for him and love him. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a committed believer who's now undergone sex change surgery, and now this is who they are. Mm-hmm. What do we do?
Okay, good one there. Okay, what's a committed believer? Because
in his mind,
you see, here
that's the question.
I because we're talking about my story, let me relate it in my own story. I know that I went to church as Laura. I wanted Jesus to accept me as Laura, and even though the pastor said, you know, our job is to love you, God's job is to change you, that rang in my head, and. When I finally realized that I had not fallen on my knees and admitted that what I was doing was wrong and confessing that changing genders is not living out the life of Jesus Christ, that as a result of my not living out the life of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit could not come and energize my life the way he has now. So you need to fall on your knees and say you changing genders is not what God intended for me to do to serve him.
But I've already made the change. I've already gone through it. I can't fully reverse it.
I was there. I'm that person. I went in. I fully changed. I was Laura. But, you know, the truth is you can change. God changes people. That's his job. His job is to change people and redeem their life, redeem their birth gender, and fill them with the Holy Spirit. You asked earlier, why do I do this today?
Yeah.
I do it because Christ is alive in me, because I have turned my life over to him to be restored and redeemed so that I can serve him and not serve myself like I had been.
So it's not all about me. Here, we posted a video on YouTube. It's gotten about 3,500 views in the last couple of days since it's went out. Two young ladies who profess to be Christians, they were at the Gay Pride event to support the people there. One of them said, my brother's gay. She just posted on the YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, saying, my brother's gay, and I will say it loud and proud, multiple exclamation points. And she said, well, gay sex is sin, but I'm not against it. And that you can't, you know, stop your heart from doing certain things. So she just posted this. I'm one of the ladies in this video, and yes, I'm a Christian. Who are any of you to judge anyone? God put us on this earth to be happy. And if being gay makes someone happy, then go for it. How do you respond to that?
Well, if you really, really want happiness, then you fall on your knees and confess that you're broken, that you need Jesus Christ. I have told so many people over the years, the reason why we struggle with these issues that we have that are, you know, whether it's same-sex attraction or transgenderism or whatever it is, we struggle with these issues as evidence that we need Jesus Christ in our life, because on our own, we can't do it. We need Jesus. And so that's the issue. It's coming to Christ, saying that I was wrong, and then falling on my knees and being redeemed and restored.
A woman called in, pastor's wife, a couple years ago, and she said, there's someone in the church that's been, you know, going for a while. Now they found out that the person was born opposite gender, and they're struggling. They realize I made a mistake, and they said, what should I do? And I said, okay, well, they have to do everything they can to go back to who God made them, get off their hormones, whatever they can reverse surgically do it. I said, but I recommend, it's probably best that they step away from that church and reappear as who they are with a new set of friends. I said, it could mess with a whole lot of people. Now, you might have a community that can embrace it, But I said it may be best, you know, encouraging them to be back to who God made them and maybe start afresh somewhere else where they can be who they are without all the confusion. Do you agree with that counsel, or was I misguided?
Well, you know, I think a lot of different things can work in different church environments. In the church that I was in, the pastor set it up that I could do the Sunday sermons, three sermons on Sunday, and talk about my redeemed life. And he set it up as, you know, Zacchaeus and that story about Zacchaeus.
Got it. So they got, that's an incredible community to be able to witness that together. Here's redemption lived out in front of our eyes. All right, we come back. Beth, I want to take your question for Walt Heyer.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I cannot believe almost 2 hours has flown by with my guest, Walt Heyer. His book, Gender, Lies, and Suicide, a man who's been there, done that, come back from the grave in that sense, committed what you call birth gender suicide, only to live through it, sex change surgery, and say, no, that's not who God made me. And now living his life as a happily married man these last 16 years. He's 72, so there was a long life of pain and struggle before that. I just want to grab one more call. Beth in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, what's your question for my guest?
Hi. I have a niece who is currently dating someone who's in the process of transitioning from a female to a male. And my niece professes Christ and says she's been a believer for years. So I'm having a really hard time with how to handle this situation. She's been very involved in our lives, typically comes for Christmas. But I honestly just struggle with this relationship and how she can line that up with her walk with Christ. So.
Go ahead, Walt.
Sure. Yeah, I think what would really be important is to sit down with your niece and really begin to dig into why she has this relationship, what she finds that is attractive to her having this relationship, and how what is, in other words, rather than distance yourself from her, pull her in toward you and begin to kind of love on her in terms of digging into what she's feeling so that you can better understand what she's going through. Because if she's in relationship with somebody who's going through this, then she also is dealing with some of her own issues that, because it's not just about the female becoming a male, but there's something else going on there. So this is probably a real good time, if you have a good relationship with her, to sit down and sort of love on her in that way and bring her closer to you so that you can have some influence on this. Because if you push her away, you will not have the ability to have any influence in that conversation. And if she trusts you and you have a good relationship with her, that could be very healthy for her.
And Walt, which of your books do you think would be of the most help?
Probably Gender, Lies, and Suicide.
All right, Beth, I want you to stay right there, and I want to send you a free copy of this book. I was thinking the same thing, that the issues dealt with in such a forthright way would be very important, very helpful. Friends, to get a copy of the book, it deals with the key issues. It's up to date with science. It addresses the myths. People want to be compassionate. You think, wow, my boy's really a girl. I didn't know. Now I understand that. I can affirm it. And that is going to be the worst thing ultimately you can do for that child. Affirm them in a gender different than the way God made them. To get the book, your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. So, Walt, if a parent makes the choice of affirming their kid's perceived gender identity and say, okay, Jane is really Joe, so we're going to have him dress as Joe, cut his hair to look like Joe, campaign that he can use the boys' bathroom in school because we love our kid. He's 7 years old, and he's only happy when he's identifying as Joe. So he's no longer she, he's he. What are they doing to that kid?
Well, I think this is real short-term way of not dealing with the deeper issues. In other words, this is a way to not have a conflict with the child. This is a way to not support their birth gender, which I think is just so important. Anytime you reinforce a gender that is not the child's gender, you are engaging in child abuse. So there's nothing more core than a person's identity, gender identity. And we're struggling with this because there's so much of this going on in the school campuses. There's so much of it on television. They're inserting it in so many shows on television. Mm-hmm. We see it in the headlines.
And even cartoons. There's now a little superhero. The boy turns into a girl and so on. And
so it's just
Shazam.
And you can see, one of the reasons why I like to speak out is you can see what the consequences are in my life. That's what happened to me. And it's not good. It's not healthy. It is, if you want a healthy child, it's not what you do. That's an unhealthy way to raise a child, to affirm them in a gender they're not.
All right. We are very short on time. You've got a lot of data in your book. But just if you only had a minute to tell a parent what they should do, what direction to go, or where to go for help, what would you tell them?
Well, the most important thing for any parent to do is to really reinforce that gender to what they are. That means that you do gender-specific things with that child. If they're struggling with that, then they're not going to like what I'm going to say here, but do not go to a gender specialist to deal with this. Go to a child psychologist that isn't gender-prone to guide you down changing gender. So there are really outstanding therapist out there that won't guide the child into changing genders.
All right. And do you believe there's hope for change even for kids?
Absolutely.
And for you, was it the gospel and professional help side by side that helped you find wholeness?
Absolutely.
And you don't have a conflict with that. It's not that God wasn't enough. It's that God used professional help as well.
No, I needed all the help I can get, and God was there, and God guided me to the right people that guided me back to Him.
And Walt, as you've testified, governmental agencies, different ones, as they've been looking at transgender issues, how do they hear your story? Do they believe you? Does it affect them?
I've had physicians read my stuff on the websites and so forth for years, and then contact me and say, you know, I thought what you were saying was untruthful, but then over the years I found out you've been telling the truth all along, and I applaud you. And there are physicians that don't want to be known to supporting me, but they are.
And they're writing to you anonymously.
That's right.
Even people that have been involved in the whole sex change process.
Absolutely. They were doing research work early on, and they say the research work that was done early on is not truthful, and the stuff that I'm doing is truthful.
And you have other researchers backing it up.
Yes.
Walt, God bless you. What a journey.
Thank you, Michael. What an honor
to meet you and speak to you face to face and see you above all vibrant for Jesus, full of hope, full of life. Walt is a truth teller. Get the book, Gender, Lies, and Suicide, A Whistleblower Speaks Out. It's yours for your gift of any size. You'll want to read this book. You'll want to go to his website, sexchangeregret.com. You'll find out about other books he's written, other materials he has. Call right now. This is last day to do this. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, there's something beautiful, special, wonderful about male, female distinctives. Don't let society rob us of the beauty of God's creation.